Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. You tell your embarrassing stories. It is embarrassing all around. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week? Boop, boop, boop.
I was too busy.
Every
I was
too time.
Busy saying honk the horn and I lost.
What are you watching? Are you watching anything?
I'm watching.
Are you reading anything?
DTF St. Louis.
Have you seen it? Me too! Okay, we're both watching it. Okay, good.
I love it. I love
it. It's so entertaining.
It's comic genius, but it's such a good mystery.
I love Linda Cardellini. She's so funny.
I love her. And I love Hopper from Stranger Things. And yes. Jason Bateman's blowing my mind. Honestly, I did not know he was such a good actor. I have not seen Ozark.
Really? Oh my God, he's amazing.
I did not know.
You never watched Ozarks?
Never
Ozark?
Did.
Oh, you have to watch that show. It's incredible.
I've heard it's so good. Maybe I should spoof it. Just kidding.
It's such a dramatic show, but there is one scene in there where he just has his like classic deadpan humor and I just died laughing. Like, it's not even like, you know, it's such a dramatic show, but he just has this one line and I'm like, that is freaking hilarious.
Did he invent that?
The best delivery.
Like, did he invent the deadpan?
did he invent deadpan humor? No, he didn't invent it, but he's
so good.
He's perfected it. Yeah,
he's perfected it. I mean, the Arrested Development is one of my favorite shows for sure.
So good.
Yeah, he's blowing my mind in DTF St. Louis. It's not him. He's not there. Jason Bateman has left the room.
It's so awkward.
Well, because you feel for him. I don't want to give anything away, but like, there's certain people who can't. They just can't tell you what's happening. They just can't do it. They're too shy or something's happening and they're just like, I can't do it. And oh God, I'm so excited to see what happens.
Are you watching Rooster too with Steve Carell?
I couldn't get into Rooster.
Okay, so Mirage said the same thing. He was like, I don't really like it. And I'm like, I don't think it's as good as DTF, but I'm still trying to be into it.
Yeah.
Because I love Steve Carell. So I was like, I'm trying.
Steve Carell.
I'm trying to be into it still. It has its moments. But yeah, DTF is between the two definitely the more fascinating. Yeah.
I just love the way it's shot and all the... And that it goes into sort of like a magical realism sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really funny, but it's also really real and engaging and artistic. It's everything. It's a
keeps you on your toes.
Package.
Keeps you guessing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, what about you? How's your week?
So we're doing that. We're watching that.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. I was like completely brain fogged on all of it. Yeah, it's been the same, which is, you know, not always a bad thing. So
you tell me about that. Like, didn't you have 2 days? One was really sunny and the other one was snowing.
Oh, that was a while ago. So by the time this airs, that's definitely going to be like a few weeks back. But it was insane over here. It was 75 degrees and sunny and beautiful. We're wearing t-shirts. It's gorgeous.
Love that.
The next day, it was 35 and snowed. I was like, thank you, global warming. How is this even possible?
Seriously.
And then you had the crazy heat wave in LA where it was like 100 degrees every day.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's bizarre. And now it's spring over here and it's beautiful. And I'm like, please go away. Like, please, I'm ready. Like, I enjoyed the winter thoroughly, and now I'm ready for a new chapter of spring.
Well, it's almost April. It's spring. Like, you're gonna. Yeah. You're not going back.
This will air in April for sure. But the spring here is beautiful, and I have not been here for a spring in I don't even know how long. Because when I would come out to visit, it would either be summer or like around Christmas time. So I really, in 24 years, have not been here for a spring. So
get ready. Yeah. Get ready to just like lock eyes with strangers and being like, we like give them that pleading look of like, we're outside, aren't we?
I won't be doing that.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I'm not looking at any people, birds only. My friend Megan makes fun of me so bad. She's like, you're so old. I'm like, I'm a birder now. I'm into birds. I have my little Merlin bird ID app and like you just go. I love it. I'm sure I've talked about it on here before, but you go out and you just click record and in real time, it pops up every bird sound that you're hearing and it flashes when the bird is chirping. So you're seeing like what's going on. But like today's was explosive. Like I just had birds everywhere that were just chirping and so beautiful. And it was so cute. And I love it. And yeah, it's beautiful. There's flowers blooming and it's 70 degrees and it's lovely. I am loving it.
I just picture you in like flowing gowns, just going to collect your mail down on the driveway and swishing around and like floating back up the drive, and it's sun shining on your beautiful face.
That is so sweet. It's more like pajama bottoms and t-shirts because that's what I live in 24/7.
Me too.
I know, for as like much as I love fashion and I love getting dressed up and decked out and putting on 8 million accessories, when I'm home, I am in pajamas all
the
time.
Me too.
As soon as I get home, PJ's on.
I think I told you that with John gets home a little bit like later after I get home with Elliot. And if he's not home in 20 minutes, in a 20 minute range between me getting home and, you know, 20 minutes, I am in my PJs. He's missed the outfit for the day.
Oh, no, I'm in my PJs the second I walk in the door. Yeah. I'm stripping it all off. So, yeah.
It's, so PJs, it's sponsor great. Us.
So PJs,
sponsored PJs.
By PJs. Yeah, but I love it. I love being outside and I love enjoying nature and it's just really grounding and peaceful. And yeah, that's what makes me happy. So
good. So bye. That's our show.
So that's our show.
That's our show.
Let's do it. Let's kick do it off. It.
I'm gonna you want to start you us? Kick it off? Yeah, okay. I do. Heck yeah, I do. Okay. So this person who wrote into us just wants to be known as Love's Labor's Lost, okay, from California. Like, that's it.
Love it.
They're like, you can't disclose my name. Just call me Love's Labor's Lost. It's like, okay. Like, all right, Shakespeare. So anyway, they write, it was hard working in a restaurant and dating. I worked nights, especially weekends. I hated waiting tables, and don't judge me, I didn't mention it in my profiles. When asked what I did for a living, I told guys what I was dreaming of doing full time, which was animation. I worked a lot of busy night shifts to help pay for CalArts. These shifts were excruciatingly long, and sometimes I didn't get out of there till 11. Once, and only once, I told a guy he could meet me outside the restaurant where I worked. I was scheduled to get off at around 8, so there was still time for us to meet for a drink. This guy was smoking hot. Mm-hmm. He was my dream. A hot body and a beautiful face.
Okay.
I say that like a true kook. Like a true cougar. I'm like, a hot body and a beautiful face. I didn't even judge the shirtless fishing picture in his profile or the shirtless Machu Picchu picture.
Machu Picchu picture. I would be judging all of it. And if I was your friend, I would say, girl.
You have dang. Said that to me, Katie. You have said that to me when I was dating. You're like, literally what are we doing here?
Yeah, okay. I looked at that profile. I was like, absolutely not.
And I was like, well, I won't go on a second date. Okay, so hard body and a beautiful face. Mm-hmm. I didn't even judge the shirtless fishing picture in his profile or the shirtless Machu Picchu one. He said he could only meet on a Wednesday night, so that's why I told him he could meet me in front of my restaurant. I wasn't about to cancel a shift for him, but it seemed doable. My plan was to bring all the clothes I needed to change into after my shift, quick change in the stalls, and be out front looking as fresh as springtime, by the time he picked me up. Weird. When he asked why I wanted to meet there, I said, I study here sometimes. It wasn't a complete lie because I did study all the specials every night and commit them to memory. Wednesday rolled around and we were slammed. Isn't it just always the way for everyone to want pizza on a random Wednesday in March? The restaurant has a no phones on the floor policy and the managers were crazy. And my apron, so I put my phone in my apron that night and I was just waiting for the chance to duck into the bathroom stall and text this hot, hot man that I was running late.
That's the worst when you have plans and you got stuck and it got busy and you can't get cut.
You go in the weeds. I know.
We've all been there.
But I forgot. We were so slammed and I was in the weeds for hours that I forgot to text him. And around 8:45, the most embarrassing thing happened. I was being screamed at by my manager because I had forgotten to put a birthday dessert order in and I was covered in tomato sauce because I had somehow smeared it on myself and my hair was gross and I looked like a penguin in my dumb apron and no doubt my mascara was running. When I looked to my left, there was hot guy there, inches away from me, staring. And his stare said it all. He winced when he made eye contact with me. And then he said, my bad. I was humiliated because, of course, he came in. I wasn't returning his texts and he thought he'd just come surprise me because, making matters worse, my manager turned to him, saw how hot he was and started flirting with him.
Oh, nice.
She said in her I'm a little cutie voice. Hi, what can we help you find? Like, she went from asking me why I look disgusting to psycho flirt mode in half a breath. It was theatrical. I had no words. And so I just asked her if we were done. And she said, still I fucking this man. Go sing happy birthday. And I just walked away. I hid in the bathroom for a really long time after that, waiting for him to leave. He ended up talking to my manager for a while and I ghosted him. Sorry, hot fisherman. You could have snagged my heart.
Aww.
Can you believe? That's so embarrassing because, like, I think that there's always, like, a dual personality sometimes where you have to, like, be the person that you want to be. But, you know, sometimes life has other plans. So you're, like, I don't know, working in a restaurant or, like, doing something else that you don't necessarily.
But there's nothing wrong with saying that. That's the thing is it sucks that people have to have so much shame around it and be like, no, like, I'm an architect, but 100%. I'm, you know, because if you care.
Of those,
if you care about somebody, an architect of fries. If you care, now I want fries. If you care about somebody, then you know you should be able to follow them with their passions and support them through it all. So
I agree.
Yeah,
don't lie. Don't lie. I mean, you know what? You're gonna have to come clean later. So just don't lie.
Just don't do it.
If you don't get that Machu Picchu hot guy, then he wasn't meant to be yours.
If they don't like you because you wait tables, then they suck.
Then you
okay? Because you're working hard and you're paying your bills.
You're
that's all that matters.
And a king, and we love you. So, go ahead.
Okay, my first story comes from Simon Jackson Turner. He co-hosts two film and TV podcasts: The Ravens, a One Tree Hill podcast, and the Mighty 90s Movie Podcast. He is a big fan of Mary Kate.
No,
and you loved her. No. He doesn't know who I am. He loved her in Free Willy 2. And she's going to go on their podcast and talk to him about it. Do you know what episode it is?
I don't know what episode it is that we're going to be filming. Yeah.
It'll be coming up. So stay tuned for
Mighty
that.
Mighty 90s. And I'm sure it'll just say Free Willy 2. We're just going to talk about Free Willy 2 all day.
But he agreed to share a story with us because she's going on their podcast and she gets to be surprised by it. So here
we go. Thank you, Simon.
When I was a kid growing up in the late 80s and 90s, I was movie obsessed. I loved movies like The Mighty Ducks, Three Ninjas, Little Giants, and of course, Free Willy. I was enamored by them, and I would daydream about being my own character in the movies. Movies about kids my age that defy the odds and do the seemingly impossible. I wanted to be those kids.
Yeah.
My parents were always very supportive of my imagination, and when I was 7 or 8 years old, I asked my mom how I could be Jessie in Free Willy, meaning how could I have a special connection with an orca whale?
I love that.
Quick flash forward to me now as a 38-year-old adult with my own children. I grew up to become a special ed teacher and now run a care service with my wife for neurodiverse young adults here in the UK, and just recently had the revelation that I more than likely am autistic myself, makes memories like these make a little more sense now. Back to the 90s, knowing that my mom could not source an orca whale for me in the suburbs of England, she instead adopted a chimpanzee for me at the local zoo. It was a program where you pay a monthly donation to support the chimps and you would receive pictures in the mail and be kept in the loop on their progress. I took this seriously. From the first picture I received of Steve the chimp in the mail, I was determined that we would be intrinsically bonded. I would be his Jessie. He would be my captive orca whale that needed freeing. I put his picture up on the wall in my room and daydreamed of our adventures together.
Oh my God.
Some time went by. And then finally, my mom told me we were going to the zoo to visit Steve. Oh. I was so excited. I was picturing my own Free Willy movie in my head. Free Steve.
No, Oh my gosh.
It's so cute.
That's
I'm dying.
So cute. Yeah.
We got to the zoo. It was summer and incredibly busy. I was not interested in any other animals. Take me to Steve. We got to the chimpanzee enclosure. There were kids everywhere. I remember thinking, none of these kids are important. Steve won't care about these kids. Steve is mine.
I love it. There's a special bond.
There was a knee-high wall towards the back of the crowd of kids. I stepped up on it so I could be slightly above the crowd. And then, using my top teeth, I bit down over my bottom lip and looked from side to side looking for Steve.
Yes.
In my mind, this was a cool face that a main character in this kind of movie would make.
100%.
something that Jesse would have done in Free Willy, or how a lead child protagonist would act in a movie like this. After a while of lip biting and searching, it started to become clear. These chimpanzees are not Steve. Was that a stock picture of a chimpanzee I received in the mail?
No way.
Does Steve even live at this zoo? Does Steve even exist?
Oh, no.
I still don't know the answer to these questions, but what I do know is that my mom, who did a really lovely thing to try to continue to enhance her son's passions, must have watched her 7 or 8 year old son standing on a wall, standing above a crowd of children, biting his bottom lip, pretending to be in an imaginary movie, searching for a chimpanzee called Steve, who may or may not have actually existed.
Oh, sweetheart. That is really embarrassing. And really so cute. I mean, we've all been there. I used to pretend like I was Jasmine from Aladdin, and I would sing, like, lip sync the song when I was, old. But it's that is amazing. I think that's a great story. Simon, thank you so much.
I love that he's just like searching out. He's like, I'm going to free Steve. And then he's like, where's Steve?
And the person in sending them doesn't even work there at the zoo. It's just like stock photo.
Literally.
Oh, man, that's a good one. That's a sad. That's good. It's good.
I know. And I'm sure like the program, like people are like, where's my chimp? They're like, oh, he's sleeping.
He's getting a haircut. Yeah.
That's him. That's not him. Yeah, that's him right there. Can't tell? That's him.
Like, that's a zebra, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. Thank you, Simon. I'm excited.
Thank you for sharing and go listen to his podcast and the one with Mary Kate.
Woo woo. Okay, this next story is from the website Bored Panda, and Anonymous writes, at a retreat, we were all sitting on a hard wood floor. Speaker, let us have a moment of silence to reflect upon God's word in our hearts. At that moment, my stomach was bothering me. I knew the best thing to do was to let out a fart. I thought, well, this is just a little fart. If I let it out slowly, it will be silent. No one will be the wiser. So I let it go. The fart was extremely loud and amplified by the wood floors and the silence of the room. It echoed and sounded as if my asshole had torn in half.
You don't want that,
right? No.
You don't want that.
And then they just write elicited chuckles and laughter afterwards. I claimed it.
Oh, well, there you go. You're like, that was me. You like that? Yeah. That was funny. That was me. Yeah. That was me.
Like, hey, you guys chuckling?
Hey, you did it.
A little levity. Like,
yeah, that was me. Okay, my next story comes from John S. And he writes, when I was around 20 years old, I went to an amusement park with two of my best friends. We decided to ride the swings ride that swings around up high and basically just spins several times in a circle. I don't really like that ride, but I didn't want to just sit around and wait for my friends, so I agreed to go. Have you been on the swings, of course, the high swings that swing around?
Oh, man, I get so motion sick, so no.
So you don't do it, yeah. I do like the swings, but sometimes some of them, depending on what park you're at, are more intense than others.
I know. I think it's a little too fast.
We were the last three people to make the cut and get on the ride, so I grabbed one of the last seats in a two-seater bench. As the ride operator was coming around to make sure everyone was secure, she looked at me and smiled and said, "Are you single?" She was really cute, and I told her I was flattered, but that I have a girlfriend already. She rolled her eyes and looked super annoyed. I thought my rejection had upset her, so I tried my best to console her. I told her, "Don't worry, you're beautiful. You'll find someone much better than me. There's a lot of fish in the sea." She then looked even more annoyed and said, "What are you talking about, you idiot? I asked if you're a single rider, not single. I am not interested."
It's so funny.
I could feel my face flush hot, and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm a single rider." She double-checked the bar and bell and walked away. I have a fear of heights, but I have never been happier to fly up high into the sky and away from that interaction. I told my friends about it after the ride, and they were dying laughing. They never let me live it down and still ask me if I'm single.
Oh, that is so funny. You single? There's plenty of fish in the sea. You don't need to get annoyed. You know what I mean?
Sorry, I got a girlfriend. Flattered. Back up. You're really pretty. You're going to find someone. Don't worry about it. You're
gorgeous. Look at that face. Look at that face. Yeah, I cannot. Yeah, no more contact.
I love those stories, though. And please send them in if you have them, of you think someone's hitting on you and they're really not. And you
really not.
Embarrass yourself just by like rejecting them when they were never hitting on you in the first place. I think those stories are so funny. So
me
please
too.
send us those.
Or like wait, when someone waves to you and you're like, oh my God, hi. Like who is this? And if they're
We've
waving to someone
all done that.
You.
You're like, hey, oh, how do I know you? And they're like, I'm not fucking looking at you, you creepo.
They're like,
behind you.
You.
Like, oh.
Not you.
Hi.
You, the bow-legged one. What's that one? From that? What's that lyric? The bow-legged one.
That was from, was it Salt-N-Pepa or?
Salt-N-Pepa.
TLC.
Salt-N-Pepa.
I think it was Salt-N-Pepa, yeah. The bow-legged one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. Okay, my next story comes from Reddit, and Lunar Bear writes, my next story is from Reddit, and Lunar Bear writes, I had an experience in fifth grade when a teacher refused to believe I had the stomach flu. She was up teaching her lesson, and I had the classic bubble gurgle with hot saliva beginning to creep up my throat. Nailed it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I tried to raise my hand to use the restroom, and she ignored me. So I quietly went up to interrupt her lesson and asked to be excused because I felt like I was about to be sick. She very loudly said, oh, you're not sick. You just have to fart. Everybody farts. Go ahead. You can fart. That's what
Stop
her teacher
it.
Said that. Her
teacher no.
said that. Yeah. Oh, you just have to fart. Just fart. Can you imagine if a teacher said that to you?
No.
I would be like,
that's
you're
horrible.
Fired. You're so fired. As if I was about to stand proudly in front of the class and blast my best 10-year-old girl's shit precursor in front of God and everybody. So in the midst of her encouraging me to basically defecate in front of everyone, I did just that.
No.
I explosively vomited with such velocity that every safeguard in my intestinal tract gave way and I geysered out of both sides while my classmates...
No.
Yes, while my classmates since kindergarten watched in horror.
That's horrible.
We did not move schools that year.
You wish you did. You wish you did. I hope she threw up on the teacher because honestly, like telling her she's not sick and she just has a fart, like that's horrible. So I hope she puked right all over her shoes.
Same. And I don't understand why these teachers don't get it. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Let the kid
tell when someone's sick. Like, come on.
It's like
that's cruel.
Yeah. It's cruel.
Okay. My next story comes from Quora, and DL Phillips writes, it was my first year back in college after being in the service. I decided I was going to get it right this time. I was going to study, get good grades. I was going to be somebody. What's the first thing a young man honorably discharged from the service re-entering college does? Buy books? No. Meet with your professors and get to know the faculty? No. Get drunk at a frat party? Woo! No, not my thing.
Oh,
study? Really? Drive around town and get to know the area? Later. Buy a new outfit or some cool addition to your room? Eventually. Well, what then? Attend a campus function to meet women. Bingo! I knew this would be about women. Every awkward moment in my life is in some way related to a woman or women.
Aww.
Still thinking like a soldier. So I get this invitation for a meet and greet in the college union hall. I make my way there and there are more ladies than guys. Dude, you're at a nursing college in the late 80s. Wow, very cool. Meeting new people, young men and women from all over. It was a well-organized event. Then she walked in. It wasn't the actress from Blade Runner, but she could have been her twin, a doppelganger from literally every poster I ever bought. My heart began to pound. That voice in my head started in on me immediately. Dude, she's way out of your league. Don't even talk to her. You'll just end up embarrassing yourself. I told myself to shut up, and I decided that if our eyes meet, I'm going in. She was alone. She had on a blue form-fitting cardigan sweater, and our eyes met. I walked up to her with my heart in the back of my throat. First impressions are everything. I was in shape. My hair was perfect. I had on my best outfit. Eye contact. She was amazing. Destiny awaited us. Now I will pause for a moment while you all consider what could have possibly gone wrong.
Oh, no.
It was a large meeting room in the college student union. It was a beautiful fall day. A bunch of 20-somethings getting to meet new people. She walks into the room. All of the guys turn and say to themselves, I'm out of her league. She's not even going to talk to me. Yet I summon the courage to talk to her. If there was one thing the service taught me, it was to act decisively. Today was that day. I was going to risk it all. And add getting rejected by a supermodel to my long list of awesome things to talk about.
I love that he went for it.
He's confident. What does a dead broke college student say to a young woman who obviously has her choice of which Rockefeller she wants to date? I will tell you. I walked up to her with a big friendly smile and said, hi. Welcome. You must be new. What's your name? She was new. Never saw her before. She smiled warmly, was polite, and said, hi, my name's Kim. Thank you. Kim and I stood there for a moment in awkward silence, and I was kind of blocking the door, and Kim asked, do you mind if I come in? Oh. Obviously, saying this is a way to lighten it up and break my stare, I chortled, sort of a nasally laugh, and I intended to say, sure, sure, come in, come in.
Sure, sure.
Can I show you to the food? Are you hungry? Well, what happened instead? Just a few hours before, I had volunteered to move a friend of mine from his dorm room in one hall to our hall. He had a lot of dusty stuff, and it was a bit of a sneeze fest, but we got it done in record time for me to change, clean up, and head to this event. Well, there's a side effect to all that dust. Unknown to me, a big old bug.
No.
Yes, a big old booger was just hanging out in the back of my sinus cavity.
Oh.
When I chortled, it was kind of a nasally laugh at her joke. This thing decided to eject without any formal warnings a guy usually gets.
I hate this so much.
This bad boy ejected like it was a scared fighter pilot about to become a dirt dart.
That's not a dirt dart.
I don't even know what that means. I know. I was like, what? Okay, today, I totally didn't
you
realize
know what that means. It means that you fall into the dirt.
Dirt like dart? That's like so weird. I've never heard that. Anyway, yeah, dirt dart. Dirt dart. Okay. I totally didn't realize that I kind of flipped my head back as I exhaled through my nose. That booger flew out and landed right where it stuck. Yep. Right on that beautiful blue clingy cardigan sweater she was wearing.
That is game over. That's game over. You get out of there. You get out. You eject. Like, you eject yourself.
Makes me a vomit, okay? So gross.
Just
so
the embarrassing gross. Moment makes me want to vomit. She notices it. He can't go back. His reputation is tarnished forever. He ruins the first impression.
It's
he never
horrific.
Talked to her again.
It's horrific, okay? I think I would rather shit my pants than have that happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty terrible.
It's pretty terrible.
Okay. Yeah. Right there. It was like it shot out of a potato cannon. It even made a smallish sound like thack when it hit. I could see it in slow motion, yet there was nothing I could do to pull it back in.
Oh, God.
I looked at it. She looked at it.
Oh, my God.
I looked at her. She looked at me.
Oh, my God.
I got the sense that she was holding back the bile that was welling up in the back of her throat. Nothing in my military service prepared me for this. I didn't have the thousands of clever things I could have said that I thought of later. It was a moment that was frozen in time.
Oh, my God.
She suddenly turned around and ran down the hallway. I think she hit the girls' bathroom door with enough force to jar the solid core door off its hinges.
Oh, my God.
I pursed my lips and thought of the most cowardly, selfish thoughts I'd ever had. I really hope no one saw that. Later, a friend of mine reported to me he thought he heard an elephant throwing up in the ladies' room shortly after I disappeared from the event. I don't think I ever saw her on campus for the 4 years I was there. No one knew. It was like time stood still, and it was my private shame to share with a nameless beauty who met the beast at a college party.
Jesus, the snot beast.
Yeah, pretty terrible. But I mean, she literally went to the bathroom and just barfed her brains out. Because what do you do? I know I would want to like literally rip it off and burn it and be like, never again. Like, you've got to touch that like with paper towels or whatever, but you have to get it. I know. It's so gross.
I can't.
Sick. Somebody else's freaking disgusting bug that they shot onto you. It is so freaking gross. It's so gross.
And I love that. Yes, he's like, it's well, done. I talked to someone who had her pick of the Vanderbilts, and then he just sneezed a huge rocket booger right on her sweater.
There's no coming back from that. No. There's no coming back from that.
You have to run and hide if you see her on campus, because you just can't. You can't. There's no, hey, because it's just everything will remind her of it.
No, it's done. You
she'll never
it.
See your face again.
You snot rocketed her right out of
she'll
your life.
See this, she'll see this. You just ejected yourself out of that romance, buddy.
Yeah.
My next story is from Anonymous, and they write, a really angry man tried to slam the front door of my office, but the door had pneumatic hinges on it, so it couldn't be slammed. It closed at the same pace regardless of how hard you shoved it. This man didn't know this, and after his incredibly dramatic tirade, he wanted a dramatic exit. Except the door was not in on the plan, so he stood there and watched it close slowly. My desk directly faced the front door, so I made eye contact with him the whole time.
That's hilarious.
I think I witnessed part of him dying. But then the door closed. So I just love, he's like,
screw you. Yeah. And then it's just. Like, they should put that in like a TV show. I feel like that'd be so funny. It's so great. Okay, my last story comes from Cora, and Carl Deegan writes, I was supposed to be away on a fishing trip with four of my friends in Minnesota. I missed my plane. I drove back home and heard some giggling from down the hall. I listened and heard nothing for a few seconds, so I just dismissed it as outside noise or fatigue on my part. The mind can play tricks on a person, you know? I shrugged it off and set down my suitcases and went back out to the car to get my third bag. But as soon as I had closed the door behind me on the way in, I heard someone say, oh shit, and something else that was inaudible. That's when I went into full stealth mode and quietly walked down the hall as I didn't know who these intruders were. There were no cars in the driveway. My wife was at work. I saw a dish and a fork on the countertop, but people lived in this house and they didn't always clean up after themselves. So I saw nothing out of the ordinary, nothing out of place. I walked slowly and softly down the hall, avoiding the boards I knew would creak and crack when I stepped on them. When I came to the door of my bedroom, I heard something drop and hit the floor. I instantly knew someone was in there. I reached for my 9mm and prepared for entry. I took a deep breath and flung the door open and screamed, "Don't move!" Two hands on the gun. The woman screamed and flipped over as she jumped off the guy, who was now waving his open hands frantically saying, "Don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot," as I aimed the gun directly at him. Jesus. I had him dead to rights. I looked over at the woman who was clinging to the bed sheets with a shocked and horrified look on her face. She was obviously naked underneath. And that's when I realized who she was. It was my mother-in-law.
Oh, God.
And she was in bed with my pool guy.
Oh, my God.
I lowered my weapon and just looked at both of them in silence and disbelief for a few seconds. I didn't say a word. I mean, what do you say about something like that?
You can't.
And then I turned slowly, my back to them, walked out of the bedroom and back out to the living room, thinking to myself, I'm going to wake up soon. This is a really fucked up dream. I didn't really see this. This did not happen. Seriously. No way. I never said anything about it to anyone, not to my wife, not to my father-in-law or my sister-in-law, not even to my mother-in-law. And she didn't mention it or talk about it ever again.
I hate that part.
That's how awkward that moment was. I still wouldn't know what the fuck to say about it today, even in hindsight. I mean, what do you say about something like that? I just noticed that she became really pissed off at me when I fired my pool guy and hired the one my father-in-law had originally suggested to us, even though he was quite a bit more expensive. She didn't like that at all. Yeah. But what could she say about something like that?
Oh, my God. Oh, that was a roller coaster. I can't believe
that. So he never even told his wife that her mom was cheating on her dad. She never even told his wife.
I would definitely tell. I think I would tell. Would you tell?
I would 100%
tell. 100%.
It's awkward, but I would like immediately be like, so.
Listen.
Your mom be cheating. She is hooking up with a pool guy.
She's hooking up with a pool guy.
I mean, but she's in their freaking bed because that's like a safe spot. But ew.
No good.
Like
no
hooking
good.
Up in their bed because his wife was at work and he was supposed to be on vacation.
I took a Louisville slugger from both headlights. That's what I would be blasting.
But he kept that secret for his whole life. And like nobody knows. You know
now,
she's hooking up with someone
those
else.
Family dinners. You're just like, can you please pass the affair? I mean, the turkey.
I knew you were going to say turkey. I almost said turkey too.
Oh, really?
Which is so funny. Mm-hmm. Turkey talk.
That's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.